And we live.
Bro, are we live? I'm a bit loud.
Black House Talk.
Okay.
Black House Talk. Intro with no looper.
Black House Talk. Sanbonan, Ninjan. Samba. I'm not alone as usual. My name is CeeLo Demba.
My name is Prof.
Hi, Prof. Why are you so low? CeeLo.
Oh, I thought you sorted this out, bro. This is so unprofessional.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. We are not alone, as you know. We are never alone. Today we've got what do we call her?
Eshkunje, what was that AKA that she had when she was doing that Duke thing?
Oh, hashtag respect the Duke.
Hashtag respect the Duke.
We have the founder of hashtag respect the Duke.
The yo inkani na wobong. Hello guys, my name is Nontobeko Sibisi.
Oh, all the way from
that's
TV.
What's up.
I'm excited. I used to watch her. Now she left us. Now she's here. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. What brings you in Durban?
I'm just chilling. Well, I am from KZN. Gwase Hammersteel.
Hammersteel. Hammersteel. There's a song that goes like that.
Is there?
Yes, I'll find it for you.
Wait, Hammersteel, it feels like it's somewhere in the West Rand or something.
Oh,
yeah, it feels like that. You know, I feel like it's dry. You know, there's no green.
Fun fact, there's a place called Mpumalanga in Hammersteel.
And it's not a province, guys.
It's not a province. It's not a place. Province.
Yeah,
it's
you know, place. They're playing with us now. We'll confuse the enemy.
Yeah, so Hammersteel, how did you end up on TV?
Oh, my God. Hectic. I just had a loud... Can you swear? I had a loud-ass personality.
The BCCSA is not here.
Yeah, there's no fines to pay.
And you know how awkward that is, right? Yes. I haven't had any complaints yet. But yeah, man, I always knew that I'll be on TV, man. I was just that kid growing up. Mawubuyele ekhaya, ubukele SABC 3. I was a religious watcher of the Oprah Winfrey show. And there's just something about how she did talk show where I always knew, I can feel how she articulates. And I know for a fact that I think me and her are on the same page of just talking and sharing.
So you're a Model C?
Yeah, twang here and there, but not all the time. But yeah, man, it was just watching that much of TV, and it just resonated with me. Performance resonated with me. Watching Usdumo Velaphi, there was just something about black expression that always resonated with me, even though I couldn't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah. That sounds interesting. And then so, from college. Did you go to college? After?
I did. I went to Rhodes University.
Of course.
That means she drank.
Like
I don't
fish.
Understand how anybody's passing at Rhodes.
Dude.
No,
it was
drinking.
A mess.
Extracurricular.
You never heard the story. I was so stressed before the exam. What you hear is like, guys, we were so fucked up. Yeah, that's all I ever heard.
Like Rhodes was a mess. But first and foremost, I had that one friend. Oh, I see. Lenjim 17, you know, had that black friend, but that had... a rich ass family, you know.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, yabo abazali bakhe ba interested ukuthi uzoba yini kanjani, oh babongile uzo e roads wena uzokwenzani. You're like, actually I don't know, you know.
Let me just apply as well.
They're just talking about sponsorship and scholarship.
Wait, what did you study though?
I studied journalism.
Cool. At least it was close. Was that a conscious decision or was that
was the closest.
Throwing some dice and
the closest thing that sounded like my personality on the prospectus. The closest thing. Like, I read everything and I was like, "Mufuna kube extra science, ngifunde the bio." And I'm just like, no, that's not me.
You were
me.
Picking careers based on your personality.
Like, literally.
Yay, you're so smart, shame.
Flipping the book.
So how did you... Okay, cool. I assume there was not a lot of pressure from your parents regarding what you have to study.
They
want you to study marketing?
Lalela. The worst one was my brother. My brother studied accounting. He's a CA, right?
Wow. And is he older or younger?
Older.
Ish. All that pressure.
I was the younger, loose cannon.
Tolo 50.
Gangi nyo ninja. As Nontobeko. Now I just don't go freely in the world. Tabanga. Okay, fine. Mafu nwenza let journalism. Muzo ipalinsa ngan. Yenzi ecos. Yenzi politics. Yenza law. And do law on the side. And at Rhodes, you can make up your BA degree and choose your subjects, right?
Mix my style.
Yeah, but so the only thing I could take that was closer to my personality was journalism. Sure. And then the rest was just ukubajabulisa ukuthi ngizozama ungabi failure la.
So were you like scraping through? Because I know there's like a close off gap at Rhodes. Did you make that close off gap?
Oh, and it's a fight, hey? So like you fight to make it to the journalism school from first year. Like about 400 of you guys apply and they only take like 120, like a small amount. And then to get into second year, they take about 60, 30 in TV and radio.
By the best time marks, you get to
like,
so if everybody got like 90%, right, and you got like 89, you have to go out. Like, I'm sorry,
if the count,
you know, we only do 60, wait, you know.
Wait, was there affluent, less colored pupils who just got in and we didn't know how?
I think maybe I was one of them, hey?
Or just for quota?
No, man. It was fair game. It was fair game. It was literally fair game. You just had to do your ish. Okay. It's just that shame. We kick ass, especially with us in broadcast. There were three of us black girls that you put us in front of a camera, we could just knock the stuff dead. And also I worked at a radio station on campus, which really helped me a lot to be like, okay, you can be a DJ on the side. You can read the news on the side, be a news reader on your own show and shit like that.
Island.
So I was like, la leda. It was always going to happen. I mean, I had my own drive-by show. What other way do I release my energy? It would be just like, between 3 and 6, let's get crunk. Like,
so crazy. The most interesting thing was that audition phase. What was it?
Which I've been to many auditions. Yeah.
No. There was the one which I was on TV specifically. And you even trended on Twitter, I remember.
Oh, OPW.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect wedding. You applied.
Yeah, bro.
And you got close.
She got far.
I got
the internet was loving her.
I was one of the favorites.
You were already on TV then. So.
Yeah. So you had, that doesn't count.
I'm just saying she had a fan base.
Guys.
I might have retweeted. I must check.
Or you're gonna go through your feed just
to find. I am not going through my feed, so should take. I'm pretty sure there's a way to search and check. Dimba style, non Tobago.
No, but it's quite interesting. So it's like there's the Duke thing. There's like poof onto that.
Yeah.
And then there's OPW, and then it's like boom again. And it's like, and at that same time, you're also super stressed.
I was going through a lot at that time. So I had just been fired out of my job in 2017. And I was going through the most. I was like,
what did you do?
I was an arts and entertainment journalist. I respected the Duke, dude.
Oh,
like, you know, Prince South Africa.
I thought you respectfully like left.
No
wonder,
like,
we didn't see. This is your last show. Okay.
They were like, everything's fine. Everything's calm. Meanwhile, inside, you know, corporate South Africa. They're like, yeah, well,
who does she think she is?
Dude, they had to do a public apology. They had to issue out statements. They were press briefing. There was breaking news. People were saying, wait, Friday. And looking back now, I mean, you almost know what corporate South Africa is going to do because you're being a rebellious black girl.
Yeah.
And a lesson must be taught. It must be like,
we told you to calm it down.
Make an example.
Hey, don't you dare ever do what Nontobeko did. And I'm thinking, no, guys, it was fine after that. We got a policy. And that was it.
You embarrassed your bosses, so then your bosses had to embarrass you.
Well, I've never had a public apology from a boss on TV.
Well, that was boss. That was boss. That's bosser than your boss.
You never had to go public, that trumps it all, you know. It's like, it's like, what you're gonna do, smack me behind doors?
that's it.
Yeah, so it was like, it was such a stressful time, man. But a part of me was always saying, like, I do not know, Nontobeko got depressed. I know your energies. Try to not slip in there, man.
Krenkren, they kind of pushed you into a promotion, though.
Much better. I think freelance life was much better. It was because what people don't understand with journalism is that you lose your self-currency because you're asked to produce a story every single day. Your currency is daily. Fuck what you heard and what you did the day before, the week before. Fuck that you were an award-winning journalist and you did great. It doesn't matter. Where are you breaking news now? Why is there a trending topic about Mang Mang and Mang? Why aren't you at Mang Mang's house banging on their door? Why aren't you interrogating them? And imagine what kind of clock that is to your system. And in the morning already at 6 o'clock, your boss is calling you to say, so you see pistoros or sends an amplange. That's not healthy, bruh. And all you want to say is like, sengikhathele fethu, sengifundile iso leso, ngalifundi this, sengifunde yonke into istori anginaso, you know?
Yeah.
And that wasn't healthy. And I think it was so nice to be zonked out. And literally, maybe we'll talk about it later, where with the new job that I had, someone was paying me and valued me to just talk shit on TV for like an hour, 2 hours. And they just said, you don't need to think too hard. We just like your personality.
Content creators as well. That is a blessing though.
Like, it was just like, we just like your personality. So imagine that kind of value system. I went where I was
technically
shit.
Technically then you are like Oprah in a sense. Except you're not giving away free cars. But the day you do, just let me know. I'll be there. Checking under the chair.
That was tough, man. I'd never wish any black girl to go through what I went through. Akumnandi kuba lapha. Nabantu abaningi-ke futhi into abangayisho ukuthi so many people also distance themselves from you. Like the other time, you check on Twitter, you like, this bitch ain't following me no more. Now I have to go back and be like, you have to make a point to unfollow.
So people are unfollowing you.
So like some people that I used to work with, like anchors I used to work with, would be like,
sounds so petty.
Unfollow. And I was just like, wow.
So what, are you still friends with any one of them? And like when you bump into them in public places?
Oh, you should see them. They stutter, stumble, and shake. They don't know what to do. It's
like the ones that unfollowed you.
It's like, it's like, do I hug? Do I
not? Was KL Ravikasun one of them?
Shahan Ramkisun.
Was it Shahan?
No, Shahan, I still party with him. I know Utok.
I like that guy. I was going to be disappointed in him. Like, he seems cool.
I party with him. I'm very, very chilled. There are a few that I've seen, but I think on the purpose of hopefully not re-traumatizing myself, I've cut down with how many people
re-traumatizing thyself.
Hey, visiting memories sometimes is hard, man.
Like, you know, because people also just hold it in their face. But
you know what? You're stronger than yesterday.
Oh, fuck with that quote shit. But yes, I hear what you say.
No, it was a song by Christina Aguilera, I think. That's what I was saying.
Wow.
Yeah, I got you. Don't worry. Pop King.
This is why I hate a lot of pop songs.
I could do this all day.
I got the eye. Shut up.
So, big debacle. How has your life been after the big bang, I would call it?
So, like, I just had to take time out for myself, which was interesting. A few people came through offering me jobs, but I knew it was jobs that I didn't quite resonated with. I would have taken them for the money because then I'm shitting myself. I'm like, fuck. After these people fire me, who hires someone that has been fired, but I'm kick-ass at my job. But also, you don't know how interlinked the bosses of media industries are. There's such a huge interlinked. Like, I could own a media company and I'm the boss there. You're a boss of another one and another one.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, nobody can actually destroy somebody fully. Any industry.
But also, there's two things that can happen. No one can ever destroy you, but at the same time, they can destroy you. So just be like, please do me a favor. I've blacklisted that girl. Young Joel, young Kenya. Do me that.
The thing is that,
It's a blacklist because you're difficult.
Yeah, you can be blacklisted away from certain social circles within the industry.
Mm.
But at the same time, there's like so many circles that exist that they're not all connected.
Yeah.
So then I guess the challenge becomes finding a new network that's outside of this specific one.
Mm. Which fortunately happened to me with Moja Live.
Yeah.
That was another different circle.
Oh, so you got your own show now?
I got a talk show. It's myself, it's KG Moketi, Unati's there, Ntike Mazwai is there. All these different characters.
Probably, yeah.
All of these characters are there on this panel show. And it was such a nice different change. It was a nice introduction to freelancing because also I was a permanent somebody.
Yeah.
And now I'm just literally freelancing. And
pushing
someone's saying,
a few hours whenever you go to work.
Yeah. Someone's beating your face. You're waking up. Someone's giving you a call time. Someone's like, girl, let me beat your face. Let me flick. No one's ever flicked my face before in the news. Oh, I'm going to use cover a cash. It's breaking news, you know.
So you went from like gear 5 to
nice,
gear
like,
2.
Nice, like sit back. How do you like this? How do you like your face done? Okay, cool. Here's wardrobe. What do you like? What don't you like? Show me your profile. Are you Afro boho chic? Okay, do you want this twist? Okay, what food do you prefer? What do you want to eat on set? Like, it's just like a different language.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so what do you eat on set? Did you like someone? Did she like really push it? Or you'd be like, oh modest.
No. Like, come on. We're working in a full ass, 100% black ass company. We were having like chicken wings, sometimes pizza. And then eventually they got like proper catering eventually. And like fruit salads, Pringles was popping up and all of those things.
Yeah.
But it was just different treatment, man. And I think after such a stressful 2017, it was nice. Like, you know, when cruiser control, zero. And it was also fucking good ass money. Like, you just like, damn, did you guys just double, triple my salary? Is this how it's like?
Oh, wow. Oh, that happened too?
That's the thing, yeah.
You went from being a slave.
Because Jonas earned shit.
And then you came into middle income. You're like, oh, yeah. I've arrived.
Give me that silver car.
Give me the bottle.
Right.
You know?
And for 4 hours of my life, I'm not waking up at 6 a.m. in the morning. My call time is like at 2 a.m. That's when I'm in makeup.
Eban mambenga passion got journalism, eh?
Yo. So
basically, this is why the state of journalism, we say that's why the state of journalism has died. This, it just doesn't, like, it's not sustainable.
It. Yeah, I don't think it's sustainable anymore. Like, generally, when I look at certain industries, my main thing is always look at the people, the age group of the people.
Yeah, the main people.
Yeah. And I'm like, I look at certain industries, I'm like, why would anybody do this? Can't they see that by the time they get to 40, they would have run out of steam because nobody here is over 30.
Thank you.
So with journalism, I see the same thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. It's like you have to, at least now there's an escape in a sense that you can build a brand as an individual. And then from there, stem into other things where you're able to own the way you're going to get yourself paid.
Yeah.
Whereby, at least back then, I imagine it was worse. It's like by the time you have your first kid, you're like, guys, I need to be out of this thing because my family's growing and I need to spend time with them.
I need to produce a show now on top of this journalism I'm doing and win an award for this show so they can double my budget for this show.
That's it's what needs so to go sad. Down.
It is very sad.
But I love the internet for decentralizing their money.
Yeah, I've seen in America a lot of these like micro journalist sites have popped up. Like, oh, Vox, we're all like micro journalists. Like, I've got a big enough apartment. Come in, write every day and anytime you want. Like, the 4 to 6 hours. If your article is popular, you're going to get X amount from the ad share. So that's a whole new different, you know, approach to it. You can still go and do your YouTube channel after that. You can still go sell makeup. You can still actually help your brand in other ways as opposed to being a slave from 4 to...
Waiting on that pension fund.
And unfortunately, they want to start losing money before they notice it in South Africa because as a black person, you can't go tell the middle-aged, uneducated fucking white person who would, you know, I think we should do it this way. I've been here for 7 years is what you're going to get.
Because everybody's protecting their ego and not really listening.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem. Your ego is going to get you...
Broke.
A shitty retirement package. That too. You're going to... Let me keep quiet.
I'm upset.
Rich!
Let me keep quiet, you know. So fuck all the corporate people. We need your money. But
I need to date a corporate person.
No. We're talking about the organization, not the animals.
The idea.
The
word
system.
Corporate represents, I guess.
Yeah.
Not the individuals per se.
Yes, we still like them lawyers. We still like them, the entrepreneurs. You know.
The Herschlers. Oh, excuse me.
Like, I know you started the YouTube channel.
Yeah, well,
how's that going?
So I started the YouTube channel just simply whatever stuff that I did and I shot, I started just chucking them on YouTube without really punting them or pushing them at all. And little did I know, cleverly, retrospectively looking back, all the things that I've put up have always garnered me numbers. So it's always been there. And then now, because we're in the space where digital matters, I'm looking and I'm be like, shit, I'm so glad I did this thing. Now, how do I really sustain a YouTube channel? Because YouTube is the next best thing now. We all want to be on that platform and start doing well and have good conversations that are accessible to everyone. And you get money for it. And that's the biggest thing now. It's all about the ownership of resources and the ownership of the products that we make. And YouTube is just one of those ways to start owning and being accountable of something, you know, accountable for your content. So I traveled to Kenya and Tanzania recently and I just was like, let me just document.
Bought like so many bags did you come back with compared to how many you went with?
What do you mean?
I'd imagine you came back with a bunch of material. It's like, yeah, they ain't got this in South Africa. Kwalisa Josie, baba.
Like, mfunbanyisa ngokotini, yes, make them see things. I try not to buy that much or accumulate that much because I think this trip, it was much more one of solitude and just going on a spiritual journey, a vulnerable one, solo in East Africa. Yeah, I went solo from Nairobi to Dar es Salaam and Zanzibar.
Hitchhiking?
I was just using public transport. Like, I'd stay at a town, stay at a place, do something
sexy. I put you anywhere in the like, continent.
Proper. And just the vulnerability, man. Yes, you go to a country, you don't know the language, you know nothing.
How was it, though?
The best decision. The best decision, the best test of solitude, vulnerability, and just trusting yourself because you have no one but to trust yourself now. And you know, before I used to be like a free-spirited child, like, oh, whatever, because someone else would always be the accountable one to call the cab.
Well, somebody was responsible for you.
Know? Now it's like, shit, if I don't book a place to sleep now while I've got free Wi-Fi now, I won't have anything.
So you took
later.
The trip to take accountability of your life, Kashi.
Like... Just to be free-spirited about it and to call myself to order and just be free and not be dependable on the company, on the usual company next to me. Because when you go with a friend, you close off a lot of the world and your vulnerability is like shrunk to still communicating everything with the person you're traveling with.
Yeah.
I find that interesting. So you feel like what you assume a certain role where you dump your responsibilities on other people when
there's an expectation when we're traveling together. Just like when you're living together, there's an expectation to also be responsible to each other. You won't always individually do the 100% of the work. And now this trip means do 100% of the work. I just wanted to get to that level of strength to be like, it's like, you know, how deep.
So what
can
is
you
like
swim?
Every single experience is a metaphorical way of taking control of yourself in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, and being alone enough to mourn and go through like really solitude trauma that I hadn't addressed at all. Because now I'm alone. Yeah. Like, yeah, so I'm alone.
There's no longer any distractions.
Like,
so
I can't
all the
hide.
Stuff that you've been running away from. Like, I'm going to go do the dishes. I'm going to go watch Netflix. I'm going to go do this. It's here now.
All I have is ngipemitsa ngongiba hi, ngiyabuya from a hi. Still, I'm still confronting it in different states.
How was the weed in Tanzania and Kenya?
I had a bit of terrible doses, I won't lie.
So
I had some terrible doses. I had to find connects.
Did you have any good stuff?
Yeah, I did. There was a beautiful time in beautiful Dar es Salaam. It was this makeshift bar.
Did you do like a weed review on the YouTube channel?
Actually.
Yes, you can always call me. I'll come in.
I say when I'm looking for you, like, hi.
I do not know what she's talking about. This is why we don't have videos here. Shut up, Lontobego.
In actual fact, but there's some good shit. Like, there was one time where we were at this makeshift old school bar. Like,
that sounds so hipster.
Makeshift bar. Like, the fishermen drinking.
It's tavern.
And they're drinking cheap ass, like, alcohol. And one of my taxify drivers on the motorbike, I had time to kill. And we went to the beach by there. And we had some brandy. And all you saw were just these little boats and the little fishermen and these white beaches. And you're chilling there with these 7-8 people that you have no idea who they are. But there's just a big connection of energy. Like, getting stoned and just having a few drinks here and there and just literally enjoying the moment.
How much weight did you gain on this trip?
I lost a lot.
I'd imagine. Dude,
what?
Traveling is a lot of footsteps.
It's not as...
It's like going to a festival.
I guess. Actually, you're right. My dad was like, he's out the country recently. He's like, I'm doing 10,000 steps. Look at that. I'm like, nigga, shut up. You're going to get back in your car like, and drive when you happy. Get back here.
Something's got to give.
Yeah, okay. I oversight. I see.
Yeah,
okay, that's cool.
It's like festivals. Can you? Your phone was off at rugging
for a large part of the time,
so you couldn't see that spike in all your footsteps. Unfortunately,
actually,
yeah, I didn't. Yeah, no,
like it's a lot. It's a lot.
Like, I had to take a break.
10,000 steps
after taking a break.
I'm thirsty. 10,000 steps. I need another beer. 10,000 steps. It's like everything is far, except you get used to it after day one.
I guess. Oh, Yeah, Afropunk next.
Oh, are you doing Afropunk?
I think so. I'm still neither here nor there.
You should probably do December Afropunk. Yet. If not for anything, for Nao.
I've done it 2 times in a row now, and last year I went to this Wild Spirit Festival in the middle of nowhere in the Western Cape, and I really liked that alternative way of spending New Year's.
Yeah.
Because so everything has been like, I'm a shock cricket, that's
fuliscoquela, Nancy Com, what type of people do you walk around
wait,
with?
Wait, that was what?
All my life, Ehamas Daily, like, you know, Jay, that kind of life, Elokshini, yeah, and everything, Elokshin. You know? So it's always been that. And also most of the time, because I was a live arts and entertainment reporter, I'd be doing live crossings and I wouldn't be drinking much because I'm live on television, ushering to the new year because I've got the energy for it. Yeah. So it's always been like fun on stage, seeing the people fight for, like it's been nice. And now I just want
to turn out. So now you just want like away from like...
In the bushes, in the midst of tree houses.
So what exactly happens at that festival?
So it's almost like a festival retreat. You camp within like in the forest, and then they just it's a very intimate festival, like probably like 70 of us all together.
Yeah.
You wake up in the morning, there are yoga sessions, there are wake and shake sessions. You can go on tourist walk on that same property. They have a forest, like a natural forest that's annexed to the farm, and you can go on a whole hike inside the forest. Like it's literally like a wonderland. Like it's all fairy
super hippie
life.
Vibes.
Like it is amazing.
Sounds cool. And then there's what are people doing like psychedelics there as well?
Like all people are just tapping in. You can see like it's such a beautiful spiritual retreat, you know. And there are different activities to activate like different structures,
yeah,
different
need to find
places.
The people who organize like, this festival and get them on this podcast.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Like
no Tobago, we're sending you a task.
Okay. It's very dope.
She's going to get to Joburg and forget about this.
So some shagging, please call me. Please call me. Don't forget.
No, it's... No! I'll never forget. No, I'll definitely call you. Like, the woman, even on the last day of the festival, the woman speaks to all of us in the tent and really thanks us for coming to the space and honoring the space and tells us about the history of the space. It's an old woman. Yeah, an old woman.
No, I'm saying the festival, is it?
No, it's a mix. Oh, it's a very mix. And also,
weird people... How's the weird mix of people there? Is there a weird mix of people? Not like in a bad way.
Sounds like
it's
my
like
kind
our
of festival
people.
So far.
it's my kind
curious,
of people.
What music are they playing?
Live bands, live music, from like indie, folk, a bit of rock here and there, but none, very little pop culture, very little to none of pop culture. And then there's open mic, open floor. If you have an instrument and you just join in, especially for New Year's, like... If you felt there's an instrument, like some girl would go up there and play a flute. And then if someone resonated with the drums, they'd go there and exchange.
So it's like a jam session.
But it's a festival, but
it's a
jam session.
Spiritual jam
but
session.
It's just, it's nice. And it's cool. It's really amazing.
I feel like you've sold prop on this.
No, but I'm just kind of upset at the fact that you didn't tell me about this as well, you know.
But now I'm telling you, I was just saving the
if
content.
This didn't happen.
Everything happens for a reason, prof.
You know? You know?
And in its own time, now you are wiser.
Well, I do not want the stress of Afropunk. Not, like, Afropunk in itself is a great idea. It's just the location. It's in Joburg. So yeah. It's like after you're drinking and
I'm a professional
party
girl.
Nice. You want to go back home. You have to stand in a queue for Uber. And then the Uber is going to be super expensive because everybody's trying to get an Uber.
2x7.
And you're checking number
and
plates.
You're hoping that no criminal is going to start getting brave as security decides. I'm going to go see my family with my last few hours of this.
the first
few hours of this new year, actually. And so on. So things are getting more and more dangerous. If you're not the earlier, the later and later you're forced to leave. So this is unnecessary stress. I do not want to plan a drive and you're going to be in traffic. And it's a lot. I'm okay. I grew up in Joburg.
We'll be there at Nao singing our hearts out.
Cool. Are you able to get complimentary tickets?
I don't know. I'm sure it's worth talking to the women. But I will say though, I will note and I'll stress this. This festival, I think out of the numbers I was telling you guys, so like out of the 100, 150, there was probably 5-6 black people.
Yeah,
including
myself
and my friend.
Yeah, that's
so in terms standard. Of representation, it was a bit off.
Yeah, but the thing is, we still... Okay, basically, you have to take this to like Maslow's hierarchy is sometimes. where it's like the first stage of Maslow's hierarchy is like food, right?
Security.
And then afterwards it's like
family.
Yeah, and then shelter and so on. And it's like we there like shelter and we're like bouncing between stage one and two as black people before we go to all the other levels. God, what an actual enlightenment and thinking about
self-actualization.
Yeah, self-actualization. So it's like there's a whole entire pyramid where you can't expect people to just be at the top without this being sorted, because it's a structure. It has to start somewhere. There has to be a foundation. So and as more black people don't have to stress about stage one and two, then you'll start to see more of them at these places. But otherwise,
there's a lot more black people are rocking the daisies.
Yeah.
But you started to get that money. That money.
But also the lineup started appealing to
black
us.
People
started,
the black artists have gone to 5FM. That's literally what that's happened as well. So it's like a mix of the two. Because they had their artists. The electro tent will never go anywhere. But there's also this guy from 5FM, this guy. And the white people are there singing like Nasty C songs, which was crazy.
Yeah.
Hell nah. I was like, Prof, look at this song. It's so big. And then, and then they sing.
Hell nah.
So, festivals, we're getting to the festival stage. I think we're going to start seeing more and more darkies out there.
But we are, and it's so nice, guys, when you go to, like, I'm a big festival girl. Like, I love festivals. Like, Opikopi Bushfire is one of my biggest favorite ones.
Yeah.
And it's so nice when you see the black girls, Kusani, Gu Radiant,
literally one of my favorite things about festivals is the freedom to express yourself however you want and actually feel safe doing it. Whereas, like, if you did this anywhere else,
in the middle of
you
Joburg.
Can, yeah, you know, Bagangimaz.
Be like, what's going on?
Satanism or whatever the hell it is. Like,
yeah.
It's like you can't be free when you're walking around in the city. But there at this festival is like, you can decide, I'm just going to put glitter. That's my outfit. Glitter. And people are not going to be like, I was like, no, dude, we're out here expressing ourselves.
It is what it is, yeah. Like, now for me, I really love theming for festivals. Like, even for Bushfire last year, I even bought, like, this big-ass Indian hat that was filled with colors. I had white paint. I was painting people. I had painted myself. Like, I was wearing a lace dress and a bra underneath. It was just, like, just whimsical. It was beautiful. Like,
a makatini.
Like, Jay, it's just ipolile. I love the freedom, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking when I'm here, I go to a party shop and it's like, what do I want? Okay, I want to carry like a bubble wand where if you hold it in the air, bubbles come out of it. And that's the beauty about bushfires, that sunset.
You actually walk into party shops?
Yeah.
I've always wondered what type of person walks into a party shop.
To get stuff so that I can...
The more you go to festivals, the more you start to understand this is why people do this stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, but like, I go to festivals, but like, I don't dress up. Like, that's props vibe.
Why you go down, go with the top?
Hey, nah. How? I was wearing like tights this year. A parasite.
Nekavel.
Ay, who's shy sneaker? I'm a tighty. I was dressed like I was going to PE.
Oh, KZN.
I fit in, but I don't stick out.
How I miss you.
Yeah, no, KZN logo.
He's starting to dress like a white person.
Yeah, bro.
What do you mean?
Kogama tight.
What black people are wearing tights?
Hey,
bro, have you noticed girls are wearing tights now? This is the in thing. We're back in the 90s.
It's fine.
I'm keeping equal opportunities with these girls.
I'm talking about clothes, bro. I don't know what this has to do about opportunities.
This is clothes. Girls are wearing tights. I'm wearing tights too.
Please pass me the lighter.
Because we need to light these candles. I don't know where
you put the lighter.
Disappeared to.
Didn't you use it by the, there by the table? There's two of them.
I'll get your matches.
See what it is.
Hectic. So like, eventually, I would like to go to more, like, other festivals and find different variety of festivals.
Yeah, have you done Smoking Dragon yet?
I haven't. My friend was telling me about it, about...
Smoking.
Dragons. She was telling me about it, and it sounded like something I could do, and then I started stalking it recently on Instagram. I'm just checking it out, and I think I want to persuade the friend that I did Wild Spirit Festival with last year to... maybe do Smoking Dragon with me.
If you decide to do it, please let me know. Don't.
Are you going to go?
Serious. I might not.
He's stuck in between the two.
My car has started developing some rust.
Oh.
So I have to take it in and see how much it's going to cost.
Adult.
And that's like the main factor that's influencing my decision of whether or not I'm going to smoking.
And it's a big ass 4x4 car, so I understand that would be big ass money.
I want to go. So if financially things work out, I'm going.
You can sell the crypto. I'm joking.
But start trading.
Let's start trading. Let's start forex.
Let's just run a scam, you know, tell people.
Just that, for December.
Yeah, we rent a couple of Mercs, we do photo shoots. We hold a seminar at the ICC, tell people.
It's too much work. Let's sell fake t-shirts.
Yo!
Fake t-shirts that never get delivered.
I'm telling you, we tell people that you need 30 minutes to be a millionaire. Come to this talk.
And then
we just copy paste a bunch of words and sell them on something else where they have to pay another 30,000 rand to be able to get the full information about how to actually be a millionaire.
Where is your consciousness?
Aren't you
feel guilty?
We left it in the church.
You know what? I'll have time to get over my guilt at all the different festivals that I'll go to.
Oh, hectic.
So Ului, like the guy who was running Undercover Millionaires, so he scammed like a whole lot of people. And now he just posted on his Facebook saying that I'm basically retiring. All my businesses which I have, I fired myself as the CEO of these companies.
Wow.
And basically all of his money is three companies overseas in Switzerland and shit and Dubai and shit. And basically saying he doesn't have any money, he doesn't even have a bank account. So therefore, and this is while the hawks are investigating him. So he's like doing all this shit. I'm like, dude, you just robbed so many people.
Yo.
You have like 6 cars.
Did he leave the country?
Santon, huh?
He leave the country?
Did he disappear?
No, he's still in the country, bro. There's confidence. There's newspaper articles coming out with, the hawks are looking for him, etc. This guy is out here on Instagram with his Lambo and shit.
Wow.
And I'm like, this nigga. Like,
talk about a middle finger to the law. It's like the fire festival,
bro. My thing is that, okay, cool. Fucking over people bothers me. And it's like one of my main problems with corruption is like a lot of the time when there's corruption, it's not like you're stealing from some white neighborhood. It's like, no, you go and steal from the neighborhood that doesn't have working toilets where everybody is still using like the long drop.
The neighborhood that raised you, bruh.
So it's like my thing, like it annoys me. What, 112 million rand went missing for the, what is it, drought emergency fund or whatever it is.
Yeah.
In case this.
Some guy's like, oh, we never use this. When is there a drought in South Africa? Spend.
Gone.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, like, that's fucking ridiculous. Where it's like, you literally went and robbed every individual in this country. So it's like,
yeah.
That is
the toilet paper that comes when there's a drought. Like, the toilet, setting up the tent, you took that money. When no one blind, dang it. Yeah, bro. So like these idiots are out there. He learned to fake CV.
SA's got very layered problems though.
The complexity of it. You saw it like running in people's lives.
But my thing is that what you see is that I'd also listen to a talk about this to say that. Most of us been raised in poverty and lack of access.
Yeah.
So when you put me in power, you put me in power for 4 years.
Yeah.
In these 4 years, now my child is going to private school. I'm staying in a state-funded property house. I'm getting benefits. Tell me on the 5th year, I want to be poor.
No. Yes. But
so in these 4 years, I'm going to set up things.
The problem is you already entered the career for the wrong reasons. Mm. Yeah, but if you look in more... like established countries, you see, a lot of these guys who run, I'd say half of come from like poorer backgrounds and half of them, they were destined to be in this because power is everything. And you know how the rich love power. So Lana, I see like the poverty thing is such a thing that we miss the whole thing, Guti. You're in public service to serve the public, not enrich yourself. And you can see, by the way, like our public officials carry themselves, they don't give a fuck about what the public has to say and that they work for the public. Just by how they carry themselves, you're going to come to a rally in a BMW and we ain't got no toilet, son.
Like, pit toilets.
Yeah, it's so I was having a conversation with my uncle regarding corruption and issues. Like, so you can have somebody who's earning like what 10,000 rand a month, and he goes with like a lokshin,
yeah,
and he goes there, and he's the one helping out with making sure that his sister's going to school and making sure that there's groceries at home, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes to work, right, and deals with a budget of 5 million.
Yeah.
Every day being given an opportunity to actually steal 5 million. And he doesn't. And then you could have somebody who's working in a system where corruption is normalized, where it's like, hey, somebody comes and pitches for something, etc., and it's like, cool drink, you know, 10% of the budget, make sure it comes my way when we sign off on this, right?
Because
you want to sign. Yeah. So it's like then within that system, when you rock up and be like, no, me, I'm playing the good game, right? The game, again, the system that everybody else ahead of you is running is like, when the day you don't accept a cool drink, is the day where you're saying to them, like, I'm not one of you.
Mm.
And with that, it also means that they're not going to promote you into positions where you can actually create impactful change. So there's a problem within our current system where corruption is constantly breeding and making sure that it hires people who are corrupt to keep the corrupt system going, even though it might not be a conscious thing on everybody who's playing the game.
Mm.
Because by the time you go from taking your first 200 rand to your first 200,000, that 200,000 still feels like you're taking 200 rand.
Mm.
Yes.
Because you've been.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, dry hell, man. Because now you know Banban is talking 2 million. So you're like, nah.
Yeah.
100,000. Yeah. You get to 2 million, like, yeah, but Zuma, my other homie, took like 70 million or something.
When
you're
dialed, you know.
Malingan,
that's my shy, you know.
So it's like there's a culture within certain institutions that's a problem.
Yeah, but also all just the collectivity of corruption as well, because it's like if the three of us are in a corrupt space and then all of a sudden you try to be high and mighty now and block us from being more greedy, we're going to start ganging up against you so that
that
will reinforce the status quo. And that's what it's about. It's always removing. It's like a chess game. Always remove, occupy, remove, occupy, remove, occupy, change the rules, remove, occupy. Until we all become the most valuable person, and then at some point we lose our currency or need to regain it back again, depending on how you play the game.
Yeah, when the problem is most people play half the game and then expect all of the rewards later. So, yeah, well, nah, I've been in power for 4 years doing fuck all, oh shit, re-election time. You see,
it's those potholes.
It's
like, oh shit.
We spent that pothole money, ne?
What house can we give away? One house. You see, like a long press release written to you as a journalist saying, yeah, we are going to give this old granny that's 96 years old a chance of a lifetime. She's sickly. We're going to give her a house so she can just feel it.
What, didn't you feel like going to the editor of the program and be like, are you seriously? How much are they paying you to do this?
I'm putting one house on the news as if now the whole country, like 10 million people that are homeless, now they must all be like, on one house on TV.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why as a journalist, you also have to be like, this is propaganda. I'm not part of your media and communications team, dude. Like,
yeah. But what sucks is that, actually, all of journalism, it's a job. It's not a pursuit of truth. It's literally just a job.
Working with facts, the technicality.
Because like in the beginning, I imagine that people who are in it for the passion are like, they're like, yes, I want to break real stories and so on. And then the next 3 years in the company are spent breaking you to make sure that by the time you actually have the power to be a voice for something, your main thing, you have to protect the profit of the company.
At the end of the day, it's a business, they say.
Yeah, it is a business.
Gotta sell them papers. Gotta watch them news. We look good.
You make it seem like we're going to go on an ad break.
You're so used to ad breaks.
No, the way you're even singing, you're like...
How do you normally go to ad break? Let's hear this.
Why?
Give it. You do this. This is how you get
But
break.
What am I linking to?
You're linking to the an next part of this podcast.
Ad break.
Wow.
What are they paying you for?
What were they paying you for?
No, you'd say like, hey guys, nati lagu, show me love, make sure you come back after the break when we talk relationships, ubanu, jela no ban, kanjan. Find out more.
So the show is all about relationships. Yeah, of
course. It's different variety. It's like got five segments with different variety. Like there's music, there's arts entertainment, there's lifestyle. Relationships is just the popular one.
Yeah,
and then just the variety.
Relationships, the topic of relationships is, it's deep.
And
it's
broad.
Everything. Like, there's nothing else that I actually...
Broad. It goes to Guti. When there's females talking about relationships, it seems like they only ever talk about the top layer of the relationship.
Ah!
Yes.
Because why? We're just talking one-sided shit.
Yes. Yes, woman. All the time. And even, like, go ask a man when you see the comments. Like, on...
Ask a man
on Metro. It's like, no, but wrong again and go benga fanele. It's never oh, okay. But if you put yourself in her shoes, that part is always selective, woman. Women are selective.
It's not, we're just telling the truth as is.
At the top layer.
No, we're just telling the truth. You just ain't trying to come to the truth. You guys are putting the icing. We the actual bread that puts this cake together. We the damn three tier.
No, Uguti, you guys are complicated like yeast. That's what happens. It's just like women change on you. But that's the topic for another day. We can go in for days on this topic. I love this topic.
So we should do a separate podcast about relationships.
Yeah, but now you say you need. That would be cool, actually.
We
must do a virtual one. Like, maybe I should have a setup like this in Johannesburg, and then you guys set up
you take savvy.
Well, like Skype and everything.
Yeah,
we can do that.
You never know. We can try it.
Black House Live.
Yeah. Hello.
I like that.
Yeah,
Black House we'll do
live.
It.
Black and House then maybe live. One day try to make it live and get people to call in on Instagram. Now that pop up video when you live.
Infrastructure. Yeah. I got stressed hearing that. Yeah, but people, yeah.
She just needs a mic. We're sorted.
That's it.
She just needs
like
a
Urban
mic.
Band is awesome. But I actually think it's a brilliant idea.
It would be nice. We'd get the conversation going.
Yes.
Because, yeah.
And some, we can call people.
Yeah, and some people definitely want to light some candles while they watch us lighting candles.
These scented candles are really good for the outlet.
All right, cool. It's been awesome.
It's been great.
Can you hit us with the ending of the show thing that you do?
And what? We go.
Action.
Wait.
No, is it time to go now?
Yes.
How many
episode time?
Well, it feels like it's been like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Which means we've got so much more to talk about on
our
new show.
We'll bring you back again.
Right. Okay.
Even over the air. Yeah, boy, Zish. We got you.
Okay, yeah, the outro snap. Alright, cool. Yeah, so yo, see you.
Getting a snap.
Alright, cool. And you're live. Go.
No, guys, it doesn't happen like that. And then suddenly we
get. Okay,
no,
five,
guys.
Four.
It's the outro. And what do you need?
No,
action,
guys,
right?
You're making me
okay,
anxious.
Sound speed.
No.
Sound speeding.
I actually have anxiety.
Okay, no cameras
about
rolling.
It.
Cameras rolling. Studios
and
live.
And outro.
It gives me so much anxiety.
Black House Talk outro. Come on.
Okay, this is take three now.
Guys.
Okay, yeah, take three.
Okay. Pretend it's straight three.
Sound speed.
Okay, cool. And then we've reached the end of the episode, guys. Thank you so much for honoring this space, honoring this moment. It's been so nice chilling with you guys and trying to get the other perspective. But it's also been good, you guys getting to know me a bit more. Catch us again, different time, different place. Two males talking shit with
Black
other
House
people.
Talk. Truth. Black House Talk.
Black House Talk. See you, Denver.
Black House Talk.